My name is Mike Rowe, and this is my job.
I explore the country looking for people who aren't afraid to get dirty.
This dirt has to be the consistency of, like, a milkshake.
Yay!
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Hard-working men and women who earn an honest living.
Yeah. Oh, fuck.
Doing the kinds of jobs that make civilized life possible for the rest of us.
Wait till we gotta do these ones underneath.
Jeez.
Now, get ready to get dirty.
I love Dave.
Coming up on Dirty Jobs.
Yes.
I'm on the hunt, chasing down a charming little creature that eats cow poo. The incredible dung beetle.
Doctor, please, I beg you.
In the animal kingdom, this bug takes a lot of crap. And I find out why that's good for everybody.
Ah, you're stepping in, but I need that.
It was such a good-looking turd.
Then, after I blow it...
Oh, my goodness!
A bad day gets worse.
Chiseling our way into hell.
At the largest manufacturer of handmade colored glass in the United States. But a hot time is guaranteed for all.
Oh, man, I choked. I panicked. Everything went wrong.
Oh, God. Yes, it's true. I am up a tree in Arkansas. How I came to be here is easily explained by the letter I just received, which reads, Dear Mr. Rowe, your apparent fixation with feces from any species is well known in the circles I travel.
God damn!
That's why we call it Dirty Jobs. There are, for the record, a great number of initials after my name and more than a few tokens of accreditation hanging on my wall, the details of which are inconsequential. Suffice it to say, I am an expert in dung and a fascinating creature that eats it. I thought perhaps you might be interested in a more elevated, sophisticated dialogue around the subject at hand. All poo, you see, is not created equal. Come to Arkansas and see for yourself.
Nice. That's a good one up there.
That's good.
And that is why I've come to Arkansas. As to why I'm up a tree, everybody's got to be somewhere.
And right now, I've got to be here at the Arkansas State University in Jonesboro, where I'm meeting three distinguished experts in excrement. Scientists who are, well, let's call them poo professionals.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, and well, that's poo from some sort of species.
Is this cattle dung?
You are.
Justin.
Tanya McKay.
Matt.
I have many questions, but is someone in charge of the poo here?
I'm in charge.
Okay, so are we doing research on the beetles or on the poo?
We're doing research on the beetles.
What? Why are we doing research on the beetles?
The beetles are beneficial because their activities help to degrade the dung itself. Dung that remains on the pasture surface is problematic to cattle producers. We're trying to study the dung beetles in order to figure out how to utilize them in the most efficient way. So as you see here, this dung pile is smothering all the vegetation underneath. And also, cattle tend to not graze in the immediate vicinity of these paddies. So as this paddy remains here, it's going to decrease the carrying capacity of the pasture. So we're studying a way to increase the carrying capacity by perhaps harvesting these beetles' capabilities in the best way we can.
What are you working on? I mean, are you a student or?
Yeah, I just actually completed my master's and I was studying these dung beetles.
So you're sort of monitoring his project?
I'm his advisor.
Okay.
For his master's thesis.
So ultimately then, do the beetles come from the dung or are they here first?
The dung beetles are just going to be out in the just grassy area, and then whenever a cow defecates, lays one of these patties here, the dung beetles are going to home in on that, and then they will come to feed.
If you think about this as an ecosystem, the first thing that comes into the dung pad are flies. There are two flies in particular that are detrimental to those animals. One is the horn fly on the back of the animal, and the other are face flies feeding along the eyes.
The flies actually suck the blood of the cattle. Not so good for the cows. But dung beetles eat up all the cow poo, taking away the flies' food, literally starving them to death, which helps the cows, the farmer, and the field. It's good for everybody, except the flies.
the patty, when it initially drops, it may have more of a rounder shape. And when these beetles come to it, their effects on it tend to flatten it out. And what that'll do is help the vegetation come up through, and it'll also help degrade it a lot quicker. Mike, did you know that 1 in 5 of all
the scrub... I can tell you right now, no, I didn't.
Well, 1 in 5 of all described animals are beetles.
1 in 5 of all described animals are a form of beetle.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a big one.
Yeah. How about you have it, Mike?
All right.
So this is going to be an exotic species. He's quite efficient at burying dung. See, his strategy...
Well, his mouth is full of crap right there, you can see.
Coprophagy is the practice of eating dung.
Coprophagy. All of this activity going on, without it, what happens?
You know what? It happened in Australia, and the pasture system was, like, greatly disturbed because all these patties just sat on the pasture surface. They were the first to catalog all the dung beetles of the world and decide this one is exceptionally well at burying dung. Let's bring it over.
Not saying anything.
So where would we go next?
All right, well, we're going to push these cattle up, and we're going to collect their dung, and then we're going to make those into baits, and we're going to trap some beetles. Don't push them too fast to scare the shit out of them.
Right. Well, that's the point.
Well, no, the point is up there for them.
We want to collect it, so we want to get them in the right spot before we let them.
So we want to gently suggest they go to the place.
Yeah.
And then we'll scare the shit out.
So in case you missed it, we're moving the cows to a place where we can collect their poo and use it to bait and trap some dung beetles. The trapped beetles will help us figure out what kind of species live here, and eventually that knowledge will help us help the beetles. Not the ones that play the music. The ones in the field eating poo. Just to be clear.
So here we are at the, what is it called?
Cow paddock?
Paddock.
The paddock?
Paddock.
All right. So what's the best way to scare the crap out of them? You scream at them, or you just kind of get them going?
Ah! Ah, crap! Come on, you know you want to do it. Do it! Good!
That's a good one up there.
That's good.
So I'll usually just kind of throw it into a pile and then shoot, get up underneath it.
Right, right, right.
Beautiful. Well done.
Thank you.
Yeah, look, they've walked all through it. That's a shame.
Excellent.
That's plenty.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Pigs are not cows, but they are part of this research for some reason. Well, pig poo is a part of the research. So, for the benefit of science, I'm here to collect some research material.
Cows smell different than pigs.
Yes, they do. And there's a couple reasons for that. The obvious thing is that pigs are different than cattle. And another thing is, out in the field, the cattle are eating grass mostly. Here, they're just fed grain. Basically, what we look for in the pig dung, you don't want it kind of old and crusty. As you can see, some along the wall there, it's a little older, it's a little more dried out.
Fresh pig poop is better beetle bait than old poop because it's much stinkier.
Ah, you're stepping in. I need that.
Why is the new stuff stinkier?
Don't walk in it, nah.
Because its bacteria content is more active.
It was such a good-looking turd.
Well, that's okay because we're actually going to mix it into a big yogurt.
We're making crap yogurt?
Well, I tend to call it poo-gurt.
Well, I always said there was culture in Arkansas.
Yes.
Matt and I will now transform the pig poo and cow poo into delicious beetle appetizers.
Okay, it's a lab.
Yes, this is a lab. This is where we'll be mixing up the dung baits. We're going to join Justin here, who has already has the cattle dung.
And there's a little pig poo.
You guys did good. So I guess we'll start with the cow manure.
Really?
Yeah.
This is really what you use?
Yeah.
It's fabulous.
Pull one of these. Oh, thank you.
Certainly. Good for me to watch and learn.
Go like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then serve it up. Boom.
God.
Tie that around.
It's like a little potpourri.
All right, so that's one bait.
This is great. Great. And?
Well done.
Bam. Oops, I got two.
That's okay.
That's
you sure?
We want two?
Really?
It holds it in a little better.
I remember making cookies with my mom around the holidays when I was like 6 years old. Similar, but...
Coming up.
Look at that.
Meet the Beatles.
That's crazy. That's a Beatle party.
I finally get a close-up look at the little poo eaters.
Crazy.
Then, delicate, handmade colored glass.
Which is a whole other story.
At a world-famous factory, I learn how to make it.
I'm fairly sure I can't do that.
And why you sometimes must break it.
Perfect! What are you doing out here?
If you ever need to catch a dung beetle, take some poo wrapped like a birthday present and place it on a wire screen that sits atop a plastic bucket.
Here you can see the pitfall trap. We have two buckets, one placed inside and the other comes out. You can see how it slips up.
There we go.
Can you get it, Justin?
Yeah.
Now, how long has this been sitting out there?
Four days.
The beetles are attracted to the dung. They can't get into the dung because of the cheesecloth. And then what, they just fall?
They're going to fall into the bottom there, and in that solution is some detergent and salt and water. And the detergent will break the water surface, so they'll drown quickly. You know, we don't want them to suffer.
Right.
And then the salt to just keep algae growth and other things from growing in there also.
Right.
So that's how we do it.
You
want to grab this from the top, Mike?
Scientists have performed very few studies of dung beetles in Arkansas. So this research, documenting how many and what kinds of dung beetles live here, is important. The data that Tanya, Justin, and Matt collect will be shared with other researchers, and the knowledge base that these scientists build will eventually help foster solutions to the poo problems of cattle ranchers and dairy farmers.
Oh, yeah, look at him.
See this guy.
See,
So he's starting to get that horn, so we might still call him a male minor. He's an adult right now, but his horn is not fully developed, so he might not be at the reproductive stage.
Oh.
Oh, this is a good one.
That's lucky number 7.
Nice.
That's crazy. That's a beetle party. Wow.
Oh, this
big
is
male
this
major.
Is...
Look at that.
Look at that.
And then there's a female, and they're going to be like, look at me.
Doctor, please, I beg you. Get a hold of yourself.
It's all biology.
Yeah, well, that's the truth. Everything's biology. Okay. Back in the lab, a table once cluttered with poo now has some science on it.
The next step of our research is to identify the species, sex, and stage of development of every beetle.
I won't soon forget the excitement I felt peering over that cage into that assortment.
Well, it's hard to lose that excitement, you know? You get it, and now you caught the bug.
I got the bug. Hey!
Oh, cheesy.
Let's look under the microscope.
This big one is going to be your large up and down.
Each bug is examined under the microscope because many of the beetles' features are too tiny to identify with the naked eye.
It's like jewels.
Well, it's like Christmas. They're all red and green.
Yeah.
These are holiday beetles.
So you're seeing the different stages of that horn development, and then maybe some of them don't have any of that horn at all.
Yeah. The horn on this one is so crazy. I can't even get it in focus because it sticks up so radically. I didn't even see it at first.
Do you want to put that one on its side?
Males use their horns to attract females. The bigger the horn, the more studly the beetle. They also fight each other with their horns for the chance to mate. And if they don't win, they don't hook up.
Those are compound eyes. So they're made of very tiny little multifaceted eyes. Each one of those is a lens.
Like a spider.
Now, the final step of the research is to preserve the beetles we've captured.
What we can do is actually pin it so that we can put it in the insect museum.
Over the years, Arkansas State University has amassed a collection of over 8,000 insects.
Yes, this is going to be in the museum forever, for hundreds of years.
Really?
You might be more infamous for your beetle pinning here than
the
next show, yeah.
Probably.
These meticulously maintained specimens provide an invaluable foundation for any scientist doing dung beetle research in Arkansas.
On the top, right there through the right elytra.
The right, oh, you mean like right about there?
And straight down, impale it.
Yes.
Right. The idea of an insect pin is so you can hold the specimen with the pin rather than the insect. Take the little label right there on the envelope. Mm-hmm. Now, if you read it, what does it say?
Arkansas, Craighead County, Jonesboro, ASU Farm, collected by Emerald.
Pick them up. and pin it in the middle.
Oh, but why does he go in the middle? He looks like he came in second place at the Olympics. Looks like a silver medal situation.
He's a winner.
That's what I'm saying, right? At the top.
You may place him in prosperity with the other Beatles.
See, he'll be happy there.
Oh, yeah.
This one here was collected 1976, 79, 1965.
65? Oh, look at him. He's really holding up. So they really will last as...
They will last forever, as long as you keep the collection in good condition.
I sure appreciate it.
Thank you for...
Thank you.
Have fun, man.
You've been nothing short of fascinating. And you, my friend, look at that. Have you ever seen a prettier poo eater? Crapophagus, what is it?
Coprophagic.
Coming up, it's out of the cow patties and into the fire.
Damn. Come on, man.
As I cook up some works of art.
The heck have I done? It's perfect, Ron.
At the most prestigious maker of handmade colored glass in the United States.
You don't have to sugarcoat it. I'm bad.
Hey, did you hear the one about the mouth-blown pink pussycat and the white dental spit sink? It's not really a joke. I just relish the opportunity to say words like mouth-blown pink pussycat in the same sentence as white dental spit sink. Sure, there are places in the country that make mouth-blown pink pussycats, and there are other places that make white dental spit sinks. But to my knowledge, there's only one place on the face of the earth that makes them both. You know where that is? I'll give you a hint.
Founded over 100 years ago, Fenton Art Glass Company is the largest manufacturer of handmade colored glass in the U.S. With unique patterns and beautiful colors, their decorative vases, bowls, figurines, and other glass products are one-of-a-kind pieces of art created using the same traditional glassmaking tools and techniques used over a century ago.
So this is Ron Dick, and Ron, you've been here at Fenton for a while.
43 years.
Coming up on half a century.
Yeah.
Man, what'd you do before this?
Went to high school, then the Marines.
All right, high school, Marines, and then you've been making glass.
Been making glass.
What's in there?
That's the mold of it.
What are we going to do today? I mean, what's gonna happen to me here?
Well, I'm going to have you get a mold out, and I'm going to try to teach you how to gather the glass and put it in the mold.
So the first step of glass making is gathering?
Yep. You have to have the glass before you do anything.
Is gathering a labor job, a skilled job, a fun job, a hot job?
It's a very hot job. It's very physical. You have to have a lot of dexterity. It's a very skilled job.
Can you live with two out of three?
This morning we'll have to.
Yeah, you will.
All right. Pull her out.
Before we gather the glass, we pull these metal molds out of the oven where they've been heated to about 900 degrees. They're kept hot so they don't crack when the 2500 degree molten glass is poured into them. Some of these molds weigh over 300 pounds, but the mold we're using today is a little lighter.
Make a laugh.
It makes a paperweight in the shape of a tiny t-shirt.
This is what's called free flow mold.
Free flow mold, all right. So you're going to pull the glass out of there.
Right.
Pour it in here.
Gathering glass into a flow mold is the most basic way of making a handmade glass product.
What's this called?
It's called a gathering putty.
A putty. And this is the furnace.
This is a pot furnace.
Inside the furnace, there's a large clay container called a pot, which is filled with molten glass.
Now, when you go to the gather, your right and left hand have to work together. Turn the putty clockwise. You go in your glass, then you take your hand underneath and start your gather.
A special clay head on the end of the punty is what picks up the molten glass.
You carry it nice and slow and easy. Drop it right in the mold. Then you cut it off.
The leftover glass is recycled.
Then And I'm an old codger. You surely could do that. And made a T-shirt.
I'm fairly sure I can't do that.
I'm a good teacher. Now.
All right.
I won't guarantee you can do that, but I guarantee I'll get you where you get glass.
All right.
All right.
I hate to make this look too easy.
Stick.
It just looks like it's going to fall right off there, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, now roll your arms over. Roll the arm. There you go. That looks just like mine.
The heck have I done? It's perfect, Ron.
Abstract.
Somebody called Jackson Pollock.
Keep it even.
Back and down.
Not too fast.
Going too fast. Going too fast. I was worse than the last one. This is a dangerous place.
Very dangerous. You get burnt. You learn real quick to stay out of people's way, you know, when you start, but... Like your cameraman getting up here that close.
You guys get that? It's very dangerous. So don't back up the way y'all normally do. You know how you do, Doug? You know, when you're just back. Don't do that. So always somebody watch Doug's back. Somebody watch Troy's back. They will be fine.
If I was doing that, I could watch you.
Right.
You're not thinking about that. You're
That's
thinking
right.
about
Especially
that glass.
Especially with me, because, you know, it's like 1,000 degrees and I'm swinging it around and I... Well, they know. I'll kill them. It'll be an accident, but I'd feel terrible for literally weeks.
That's 2,000 degrees in there.
Enough with the T-shirts. It's time for the big stuff. It takes over 3 pounds of glass to make a bowl.
Piece of cake. They're doing it. Oh, man, I choked. I panicked. Everything went wrong. That's nothing. I mean, are you supposed to fill that whole mold up?
No. There's a plunger that goes down in there.
Okay.
This area about right here would be about the fill line of the mold.
I need more.
Maybe 3.5 times. I probably made that paperweight. Crank hard. Harder than crank. Almost done. I'll make one.
That's no good, Ron.
That all flared out again.
I'm getting worse.
Oh, jeez.
All right, well, that's a huge problem.
Yeah, I don't think we can sell anything like that.
What have I learned, Ron? I've learned that I'm a bad gatherer.
Well, you're just trying to learn how to gather.
You don't have to sugarcoat it. I'm bad.
You know, when I was in the Marines, they wouldn't call me a Marine until I graduated.
All right. Is there, what else could I mean? I failed on the,
You want to go try to learn how to press? That's where you cut the glass the gatherer brings over.
Sure.
And you pull the lever.
Look, I can pull a lever.
All right.
I'll follow
Not
you.
Not too hard, though.
No. I'll just pull it
All right.
just right.
Coming up.
So what's this thing called?
A hot place. A strange name.
Good. Of course.
And a fancy technique that looks cool.
Hot.
Later.
This is one of the more ridiculous jobs I've seen.
After the glassmakers go home, things heat up on the shop floor.
Everybody makes a mess. I even make a mess on the floor. That's something. Glass is a stringy, messy stuff.
Lever pulling is done in the pressing department, where Ron introduced me to veteran glassmaker Braxton Lewis.
How long have you been doing this?
That's about 74.
You realize, I mean, it's like 20 steps.
Well, there's a few.
Well, I'm going to count them. This is right one, in. Two, three.
All the way back on the guide.
Four.
Now get your lever.
Braxton tells me that pressing glass into a mold will give a finished piece more detail than a flow mold.
Six, seven.
Break your key.
But pressing glass is a lot more work.
Nine. 11, 12,
put her back out
13, 14.
You're ready to go again.
14 steps. Tell you what, man, a lot of people have to do a lot of things exactly right. And I ain't one of them.
So I'm figuring 14 steps and the vase is done. Wrong. There's step 15, done by a guy named John Anderson.
Just push down on this, that opens your snap up. Then once he sets it in, you release the tension. Step over here. Lay it up on your rollers, put it in about that distance right there.
Right. Now what's this thing called?
This is a glory hole.
A big bird?
A glory hole. They call it glory hole.
Really?
Yeah. I know. Okay, it's getting hot enough. Pull it out. You gotta, once it gets hot, you gotta keep that baby moving all the time.
Right. And what's he spraying on there?
Like a metallic salt spray.
What's your name?
Tim.
Tim, I like your job. I'm gonna have a crack at that one one day.
You can start a new show, Gravy Jobs. That'd be it right there. Once we get that, come back over here. About the same distance in. Start to fold, bring it out.
Whoa.
Flare it up. Up over there. It's easy, isn't it?
Piece of cake.
All right.
Bring me a cheap pause. Hot.
Not bad.
Well,
next one will get flared up a little bit bigger.
Well, John, you've been doing that for 15 years. That looks better than yours.
Easy. Get it straight. All right. Whoa.
Hey.
Why are you still too short, man?
Oh, no, this is a disaster. Why can't you just sell them like this? So the faster you spin it, the longer it goes.
Yeah.
Stand anywhere you need, Doug. Don't worry. It's only as hot as the sun. Huh? Come on.
You got a good one in there, Mike.
Well, John Anderson, I've learned a lot. But mainly, I have a new appreciation for the glory hole.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear that, Mike.
Thanks, guys. Careful, all that's hot.
I wandered around the shop floor, saw some guys blowing glass bubbles. One of those guys was Butch Wright.
You're Butch.
Mike.
Number five, huh?
Yeah.
Where's one through four?
Still on the field.
What's your job?
I'm gathering a little crystal glass in the pot you was in earlier on a blowpipe here.
Uh-huh.
It's a stainless steel rod. With a hollow hole and a brass mouthpiece on it.
So these are all hollow.
And then we bring it over here and we apply all the different colors that's on the inside of this piece.
All right.
And get it ready. And then Frank takes it from there and blows it in the mold.
All right.
As usual, everything here has to be heated to roughly 1,000,000 degrees.
That should be enough. And the brown one?
These colors are made from specially formulated crushed glass.
Back in the glory hole.
Why in the world do they call it a glory hole?
I have no idea.
The colors are blended each time the glass is remelted.
This is getting any indentations out of it to keep the air bubbles from getting trapped down in them. Now put it up here and blow a little puff of air in it again. Not a whole lot, just till you see it swell up. Keep turning it. It just got like a quarter inch bigger.
Right. I didn't know my own strength.
Do it again.
All right, well, we'll do it again. But just so you know, I'm aiming on taking this one with me, so if it ain't perfect, I'm not sure I care.
I'm here till 3 o'clock.
Chop, chop.
Coming up, the race is on to finish my delicate piece of art.
Perfect.
Later, a little male bonding on the shop room floor.
I didn't even wear underwear today.
I didn't either.
Ugh, could have gone all day without hearing that.
Well, I finished with Butch at 2:45, but this work of art still needs more work with a guy named Frank Workman.
Now you take and cut down right by the pipe.
How do you cut? Better.
Like this. Lightly squeeze. Roll it back and forth. Don't squeeze too hard.
All right.
that. Lay it down on the mold, and then blow into it, and spin it as you blow. There you go. Go ahead and sit back down. Make sure the shoulder is nice and straight. Okay. Now for the next step, you won't need your glove. We're going to use that newspaper. Put a little bit of water on it. The newspaper will cover your hand. Now we'll heat it back up.
All right.
Now I'll guide it. Now it's right here going. It's going to hit the bottom, just the short side, okay?
Oh, right there. All right. How long did it take you to be able to do this all by hand?
I've been here for 12 or 13 years. Next part is we're going to put a stem on it. Open, let go of it. Now take them, open them up, cut it off. There you go. There you go.
I got you.
Next thing we're going to do is we're going to put a foot on the bottom of it. Right there. There you go. Okay. Right. Go ahead and sit back down. Yeah, like that right there. Now pinch it a little bit. There you go. Mark's going to bring a funnel over. He brings it over. Put it in the center. I'll crack it off. This is a little bit different.
Yeah. How do you crack it? Do you smack it?
Take a pair of tools. You just tap the pipe after you put water on it.
Uh-oh. Perfect. That's perfect. Look at that thing. Solid as a rock, steady as can be. Man, that is one indestructible thing. Now, how did that not break?
It's still about 800 or 900 degrees. This don't always happen.
So we do a little, surgery on it.
Clear like it. Where that piece that you had?
So that would have been cool. That probably would have shattered.
Yeah. Take these tools. Just tap. Tap on the other side. Now tap this. The other side. Now take the torch right there and heat the bottom up. Heat it up. Heat the bottom of it up. Heat around the edges of it. And that's what you call one of a kind of piece. That's Mike's work of art.
One of a kind is right. One of a kind. Order now. Thanks, Frank.
Thank you.
You're a true artist.
Thank you.
And a patient one.
All right. It'll be all right.
After the handmade glass pieces are cooled, some of them come down here, where artists paint them with colorful patterns. Kim is one of the three decorating designers at Fenton who create the original patterns that the artists use.
Are you Kim? Hi, Sue. Are you Kim?
No, I'm Jeannie.
Hi, Jeannie. Are you Kim?
Sorry.
What's your name?
Sharon.
Hi, Sharon.
Hey.
Process of elimination would make you Kim.
No.
Come on.
Yeah.
Somebody has to be Kim.
It's me.
Look what you're making.
Yeah.
This is the mold I tried to pour like 5-6 days ago, or maybe it was a few hours.
How'd that work out for you?
Not well. Can I sit?
Yes.
So you're making, are these paperweights? Or
yes, they are.
Are these being done just for us, or?
This particular one, yes.
Well, what can I learn from you? Because I'll be honest, I'm exhausted, I'm dehydrated, I've been abused and beaten most of the day, so I...
I work here, I know what that's like.
Okay. All right, well, since, you know, could you learn me how to do one of these?
Learn you?
Yeah. Let's just make it sporty, like a rainbow.
And you do it however you want to do it.
Yellow jaundice?
Yeah, we have strange names for our paints.
Why would you?
A little bit too much.
Yeah, 30 years of experience come tumbling out. You can't even help yourself. I might not smell good. I apologize.
It's true.
Never mind, then. You've been to the dark side.
Yeah. This is rotten potato.
That's good, too.
It's water-based paint, and it's fired at 400 degrees. Mm. Doing really well.
Well, thank you. What about a little gangrene?
We just name these because we can. Here's one of my favorites.
Pork pink.
We can take another color and highlight it.
Yeah, we might have to do that. How would cantaloupe go? Yeah, let's do lilac. Lilac it is.
That is really good. There it is.
Huh? Look at that.
So,
thank you. But you know what? Now it's goodbye.
Aww.
I know it's sad. It was lovely to meet you.
You too.
Okay? Back to work.
Thanks.
So long, dogs. What? So long, ladies.
Goodbye.
My next assignment, a cushy job with the maintenance department.
So what's the job?
We're going to ladle this glass out to put a different color in. You're going to have to take that bar right there and open that stopper up to get in there.
This guy?
Stick it in one of them holes. Lift it up.
The stopper is like a lid to the pot that holds the glass.
Set it right there on the floor. Take the ladle. And they always got to dip it in water. Every time you go and get a dip of glass, you stick it back in the water. You got to keep the ladle cool or the glass will stick to it.
The ladle holds about 60 pounds of glass. Fenton makes their glass by melting sand, soda ash, and lime. Sand melts at about 2,500 degrees.
There's a lot of glass in there.
Yeah, yeah.
We're talking like hundreds of ladles. One guy would ladle all that out?
Yeah.
This is one of the more ridiculous jobs I've seen, Benny. I got to level with you.
And it's hot.
It's hot. Probably dangerous. You don't mind me making a mess, do you?
Everybody makes a mess. I even make a mess on the floor. That's something. Glass is a stringy, messy stuff. Dip your ladle in, throw a little water on that, and it'll quit it. Can you take a couple?
As jobs go, this one has got to be way, way up there. Or down there, depending on how you look at it. But Benny's a machine. He throws a lot of molten hot lava around. Doesn't seem to bother him. Just goes all day. Trying to think of a polite way to leave. I don't want to be rude.
Coming up, if you can't stand the heat,
that's hot.
Better stay out of the glass factory.
There are only so many ways to say something is really, 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 really hot. I've used all of them. Well, the interesting thing about quitting time here at Fenton is that's when the actual work begins. Men in green, never a good sign. You're Wayne, right?
Wayne King, Mike, how you doing?
Bro, I'm all right.
This is my crew here.
Oh, John, I know. I met him.
Okay.
And this guy?
Don.
Donnie.
Sean.
Sean.
Bernie.
Bernie.
Al.
Al.
Martin.
Martin.
Frank.
Frank.
What we're going to do here, Dave, is to take out a pot out of this furnace.
Pot? Yeah. Yeah.
I put a brand new one back in.
The pots are replaced about once a year because they begin to leak.
We're going to start now. We're going to let you use a bar and a shovel as we go. I'm going to direct you and tell you what to do.
The fires can't be shut down because the fire bricks inside would contract and ruin the furnace. They run 24/7 and last for about 25 years. It's only about 2,500 degrees in there. I don't see what could go wrong.
Here, Mike,
I got it.
What we do, Mike, is kind of rotate through. When you get hot, you come out and put somebody else in.
That's a good idea.
Get the top first. The top. There you go.
Up in here.
Thanks, Mike. What? You need a couple of shovels. All right, Mike, break.
Chiseling our way into hell.
Want to come?
The material we're knocking out is hardened, high-strength mortar they call mud. It surrounds refractive blocks which insulate and seal off the access hole for the pots.
So anytime you got to get into the pot furnace, you have to do this.
That's what you got to do. Just try to hold on to it.
Yeah.
These are pieces of refractive block that have cracked in extreme heat.
You might save that one. Put it over there, Bernie.
Where's that going?
That's going to go back in. We're going to save it. That's a good one.
I've run a forklift before, but not one with such a fancy shield. I think Bernie's doing just fine without me.
That's hot. What's your legs, Wayne? What's your legs?
Woo! Okay, we're ready to go get the brand new pot now.
Out with the old pot and in with the new one, which has been preheated to 2,300 degrees.
Okay.
He's coming back fast, Troy, Doug, and everybody.
Okay, you got it.
I just love working around things that are white hot.
Yeah. How do you get it out? Now, how do you get the mud up all around it?
You're going to see.
right, so it's a million degrees. Maybe more. It's Bernie. You were driving the forklift, right?
Yes.
It's hard to keep sense of anybody. You were moving so fast. And you're Donnie. And you guys are cutting up the mud, and this is the mud that goes in there.
They're insulators, and you put mud on top of those.
Oh. Just tell me what to do, and don't let me explode.
Okay. Would you take one of these, kind of just fold it in like that, and jam it in that crack. And just run it all the way up, one piece.
Got it.
Yes.
Down.
Come on, man.
Right there.
This is crazy. We ought to be dressed up like spacemen or something.
Gotta be tough.
I didn't even wear underwear today.
I didn't either.
Ugh, could have gone all day without hearing that. Hey, Bernie, explain something to me. My mask, it's a screen.
Yes, sir.
How's that stopping the heat?
It's not.
What's it doing on my head?
Protecting your face.
From what?
Sometimes the blocks blow up.
There are only so many ways to say something is really, 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 really hot. I've used all of them. It's inferno. Conflagration. Incineration, flash paper, flashpoint. Probably never seen that technique before. Heavy.
That's all she wrote.
That's it?
I'll finish the rest of it in the morning.
Would you say it's a good job? Because it ain't a pretty job.
Well, it doesn't have to be pretty. As long as there's no flames coming out of it, we're in good shape.
It don't have to be pretty, as long as there are no flames. The standards here at Fenton Art Glass are incredibly high, and so is the degree of difficulty. So much so that even the finest craftsmen in the world have a 40% mistake rate. Take this, for instance. Clearly a mistake, but I'll be hanging on to it. Just like my first attempt at whatever this is, an obvious tragedy, which my mother will cherish forever. However, when you make this many mistakes, you call them by another name, Cullet. And Cullet has an entirely different destiny, which is a whole other story. Oops.
Hey, you know, we're always on the lookout for new dirty jobs, so if you have one, this would be a great time to go to discovery.com/dirty jobs and tell us all about it. Dirtier, the better. I mean, filthy. Find the top of grime and go right over it. That's okay with me. Don't hold back. You're still listening. You should be at the computer typing. Discovery.com/dirty jobs. Help me find the light.
I find that when you're making... Are you rolling? Because I swear, you look like you nodded off for a minute there. Camera all cockeyed. He's looking around. He's like, this ceiling is so interesting with all these little things in it. I'll look at that for a while. Don't tell me how to do it, Doug. I'll never learn if you don't let me. Oh, yeah. Look at that. That's much better.
It's coming in great.